very interested to hear what you thought about last night's Dateline NBC investigation of Benny Hinn. We've talked about Benny Hinn a number of times here, more than a number. He's relatively famous, I would say. He's got a worldwide outreach. Benny Hinn is probably one of the more flamboyant of the galaxy of stars on the Trinity Broadcasting Network. He is a worldwide ministry in his own right, one of the biggest, perhaps. I think we were talking before we came on the air earlier this afternoon. Joyce Meyer and Benny Hinn are almost head-to-head. Passing Benny Hinn would be a major milestone in terms of revenue for Joyce Meyer. Why? Because Benny's one of the big guys. And as I said, he's one of the more flamboyant teacher, preacher, evangelist, healer. Last night, NBC's Dateline continued their investigation of Benny Hinn. We're going to be hearing that, some of the audio from that Stone Phillips story. There was another reporter involved as well. In the course of the next 90 minutes of Issues, etc., I want to hear your reaction to last night's Dateline NBC. Did you learn anything new? Do you think they were too hard on Benny? In fact, we talked earlier with Shane Rosenthal, who is producer of The White Horse Inn. Mike Horton was featured in the Dateline story as one of those, along with others, critiquing Benny Hinn's ministry. And they received a lot of negative response from Hinn fans. One, Shane even told us in the last hour, made a $100 donation to Benny Hinn just because he saw Benny being critiqued on television. By the way, that also happened with Joyce Meyer here locally when the St. Louis Post-Dispatch ran a series of articles on her and her finances. It helped her financially. She's come out looking like a rose. There is no such thing as bad press. Well, I don't want to contribute to it, but I do want to know what you thought about Dateline's treatment of Benny Hinn last night. We'll hear it in just a moment. It's open lines, Issues, etc. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. That's till 5:30. Then, in the last half hour, Frank Sherwin joins us from the Institute for Creation Research. We're going to be talking about a discovery in Ethiopia of a 4-million-year-old set of bones, allegedly of a human ancestor, a pre-human hominid is what they call it. Perhaps they're saying first upright walking ancestor ever discovered. We'll find out what that's all about with Frank Sherwin in the last half hour of Issues, etc. Our call-in numbers again, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Last night on Dateline NBC, Benny Hinn was the subject. We begin with Stone Phillips' introduction to this investigative report.
Maybe you've spotted him while channel surfing, or maybe you're a regular viewer. Either way, he is hard to ignore. Benny Hinn, televangelist and appointment viewing for millions of devoted believers. Moved by what they see as miraculous healing, they donate millions of dollars to the Hinn ministry. In December 2002, when we last reported on Benny Hinn, our hidden cameras followed up on a few of those so-called miracle healings. Tonight we follow the money as well. Here's Bob McEwen.
Everyone standing, sing with us, then sings my soul, my Savior.
If there's one thing Benny Hinn knows, it's how to make an entrance center stage, in the spotlight, and always when they're singing the hymn, How Great Thou Art. And whether you measure success by the attendance at his crusades or the money he raises, Pastor Benny, as he's known to his followers, is unquestionably one of the most popular and successful televangelists in the world today. And at every crusade, you can't help but be struck by the faith of those followers who listen to Benny Hinn's preaching, join him in prayer, and who hear Pastor Benny's stories of miracles.
But as surely as God is God, your legs will work again, and your body will be healed again, and your lungs will breathe again, and your eyes will see again.
This is your day.
His daily TV show, This Is Your Day, taped in his own studio, is broadcast around the world. And here, too, it's all about miraculous healing.
Emphysema is getting healed. We rebuke it in Jesus' name. Somebody's legs have just been healed.
Hinn's promises of miraculous healings attract believers and their money by the millions. Public estimates of the ministry's income range from $89 million to upwards of $100 million a year.
I say he's in the business of raising money and spreading his own celebrity.
Ole Anthony heads the Trinity Foundation, a Christian watchdog group based in Texas that examines the workings of television ministries. A Christian himself, Anthony is highly critical of TV preachers who don't divulge the details of how they raise and spend their money. And though Anthony says he believes in God's power to heal, he's challenged ministers like Benny Hinn to prove the truth of the miracles that they put on TV. He has been on the record time and time again as saying he is not a healer.
Oh, of course.
That it's God who heals.
Oh, of course.
He's just the vessel that's been chosen.
What's the reason that people come to the Crusades? What's the main thing that happens on stage? That's his attraction. He promotes himself as a healer, as a healing ministry.
To help prepare our original report, Dateline asked the Trinity Foundation to provide access to, among other things, documents and videotape like this that it's collected about the Hinn ministry.
The fire of God, my brother, is going to go through you.
We reimbursed the foundation for its costs, and we also went looking for some answers ourselves. For almost 2 years before our first broadcast, Dateline sought permission to videotape Benny Hinn's crusades to see how this affluent television ministry really works. Eventually, we were allowed to bring our cameras to this one crusade in Atlanta. But we were told we could only film Hinn's entrance, some singing, and some saving of souls. So, in order to try to find out what really goes on behind the scenes of the Benny Hinn ministry, we attended a number of other crusades and walked in right through the front door with everyone else. Only this time, we had hidden cameras.
Welcome to the Anthony Coliseum.
About once or twice a month, somewhere in the U.S., 50 or 60,000 people attend one of Benny Hinn's two-day crusades, all taped for broadcast on his TV show. For 2 years, beginning in 2000, we followed Pastor Benny around the country to Hampton, Virginia, Las Vegas, Buffalo, and a few cities in between. At each crusade we attended, everything seemed to build to the one big moment when Pastor Benny told the crowd God was speaking to him, revealing a multitude of miracles then taking place throughout the arena, some of them very specific.
There's a young man named George. George has HIV, but my brother George, the Holy Ghost, is burning it out of your body.
In that first broadcast, we showed you that before the lucky few were allowed on stage to reveal their healings to Pastor Hinn, they had to be screened by a ministry staffer. This screener is a doctor, and he evidently thought this woman was a good candidate to announce her healing up on the platform with Pastor Benny.
No pain?
I will repeat what you said.
You couldn't do that.
That was horrible.
That is, take her up there.
The people selected by the screeners were then introduced to Benny Hinn and the capacity crowd and proclaimed their healing.
All right, we're going to pause here for just a moment. Now, this is my thought as we review the Dateline NBC investigative report of Benny Hinn so far. This was from last night's Dateline NBC. I think the reporter's on the right track to begin with. And I agree with Shane Rosenthal. We talked about this briefly at the beginning of our interview in the last hour, that the concerns about Benny Hinn's ministry are far more profound than how he gets and how he spends his money. Now, the rest of the report will deal with that. But that is really peripheral. I know that's a big concern to the secular viewer, and I know that's a big concern to, well, institutions like the IRS. And, of course, we would want all of the fundraising to be above board. But that is really secondary, perhaps even tertiary, to my deepest concern about Benny Hinn. My deepest concern is what he teaches. Now you say, well, wait a minute, this investigative report is launching immediately not into what he teaches, but into whether or not the healings that he claims to affect or bring about or simply stand around and witness at his crusades are true healings. I said that's a good place to begin. See, this is really an issue of truth. We can talk about what he teaches, and that's very, very important to talk about what Benny Hinn teaches. Some very odd things. He is mainstream word faith, but he's also avant-garde word faith in the sense that he likes to push the edge of the envelope at every corner. He even gets chuckles out of Paul and Jan Crouch. He even gets critique from his other word faith friends. Well, Benny, you know, that's just Benny. He likes to push the edge of the envelope. But let's begin with something very pragmatic, very basic. He claims that these are healings. And it's a good question to be asked initially. Are the healings that are claimed to occur actually occurring? This can be heartbreaking stuff, by the way. I think it was Frontline did an expose of Benny Hinn and another televangelist several years ago. And the story, they told one story of a young man, profoundly retarded, profoundly disabled from birth, and his parents following Benny Hinn around to crusade after crusade, and eventually the young boy dies. And still their hope was in Benny and his ministry, and the reason they thought their son remained disabled and remained profoundly retarded, they didn't believe enough. They just didn't believe enough. If it would have been up to Benny's power and his promise, it would have happened, but they were the monkey wrench in the whole thing. And they literally believed after their son died that had it not been for their lack of faith and their lack of giving to Benny Hinn's ministry, which is they believed was directly related to their faith, their son probably would have lived. It's a sad, tragic story. So I like the fact that they're beginning with the basic issue of, are these healings occurring? The healings, the claims to healing, are an entree into everything that Benny Hinn teaches. I want to know what you thought about Dateline NBC and their treatment of Benny Hinn last night. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We pick up where we left off with Dateline's report on Benny Hinn.
No pain.
And wherever he goes, those who've been healed are given a blessing by Pastor Hinn with his own personal touch. Soon the faithful are strewn across the floor like bowling pins. So we asked, what exactly was at work here? Hinn critic Ole Anthony says he thinks it's a phenomenon that has more to do with mass hypnosis than any kind of healing.
And they watch him on television over and over and over for years. And they see it. They expect it. They see other people upstage are falling over right and left. Sometimes Benny falls all over the place. It's just a circus. It's like professional wrestling.
But behind the circus atmosphere, there are hundreds of people at every crusade that the TV audience doesn't see.
Desperate people, the really desperate ones, the ones that break your heart, are in back of the crusade. They won't let them up in the line.
But then we asked, what happens to those who do get up on stage and who have their healings announced by Pastor Benny? To try to find out, we attended this crusade in Las Vegas. By our count, there were 56 miracles in all, many of which ended up on Hinn's TV show and on this videotape we purchased through the ministry. There was this woman. Hinn said God told him a demon had given her cancer, and he cast it out.
Go out of her!
And there was this woman who said she was cured of lung cancer.
She had cancer in the lungs.
And she don't have it now.
And then there was this little boy named William, who became the star of this crusade when he told Pastor Benny his damaged vision had been healed.
And as soon as God healed me, I could see better.
Hinn seemed to be especially moved by the youngster.
Our ministry should do all possible to help this boy financially, to even pay for his education.
The question is, despite all those claims, how does anyone really know if William or any of the others truly was miraculously healed? The ministry has said it has a process to verify miracle healings that is, quote, exhaustive and thorough. So we asked Pastor Benny to give us the material verifying the 56 healings we counted at that crusade in Las Vegas. By the time we asked, he'd already broadcast many of those Vegas miracles around the world on television.
I want you to go back to your earthly doctor. I want a full story.
But if Hinn knows the full story about who was healed in Las Vegas, he didn't share it with us. In a letter from its lawyer, the ministry declined to provide proof of any of those Las Vegas healings to Dateline. The ministry did give us information about five healings from other crusades spread over several years that it claimed had been documented and verified. But when we investigated them, though all five people told us they believed they had been healed, they wouldn't or couldn't provide medical records to support any of those claims.
So then we did some more checking of our own. For example, that woman we met in Las Vegas who said she'd been cured of lung cancer. With our hidden camera, we were able to go backstage to observe the ministry's follow-up interview with her.
Now, what happened tonight that makes you feel God touched you?
She was asked a few questions, but it didn't appear to us that there was any medical examination.
Keep trusting God. Follow it up with your physicians. Thank you so much. The Lord bless you all.
Unfortunately, there is one thing we were able to determine about this woman without the ministry's help. 2.5 months after the crusade, she died. The cause was lung cancer. We also introduced you to Belva Ventura. Benny Hinn said her cancer was cast out at a crusade in Massachusetts.
I was healed. I know I was.
According to her doctor, Belva Ventura died of that cancer shortly after our interview. But whether those miracles are verified or not, the money pours in at Benny Hinn's crusades. While the crusade continues on stage, backstage, the money is totaled up. The take, often in the hundreds of thousands of dollars.
All right, they're going to get into the financial end of Benny Hinn's crusades here. And now, granted, Dateline NBC is airing here yesterday the second part of a two-part expose that they did on Benny Hinn. So I do not know if they examined his teachings in advance in the previous part of their investigation. So they're going to focus on the fact that this is a money-making machine. It is. And Benny Hinn's ministry is typical of many of the crusading televangelist ministries in terms of the way the machine works for drawing in revenue. Now, let's make a few things clear. What Benny Hinn does is very expensive. First of all, he has an expensive lifestyle. They'll talk about that in a moment. But getting airtime across the world, even if it's on Trinity Broadcasting Network, is also very expensive. Taking the show on the road to the degree that he does, renting the venues that he does, very expensive. So the fact that he's drawing in a lot of money in and of itself is nothing really to raise eyebrows. It's an expensive venture. People are willing to pay for and defray Benny Hinn's costs. The real question is the question they raised at the very front, and that is, are the promises that he is making there in his crusades, there on television, and it's not just one or two, it's not just occasionally, it is every day, are they true or are they false? We're reviewing Dateline NBC's expose of Benny Hinn. It aired last night. I'd like your reaction, your questions, and your comments as well. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're listening to Issues Etc. Reggie calls from his car. Reggie, thank you for being patient. Welcome to Issues Etc.
Forgive me, Pastor. That's fine. And thank you for the service you perform to the honest-to-goodness Christian community. My points are three. I don't know much about the Dateline expose. My Sunday school teacher at the church I attend in Springfield told us yesterday that, a little background, he's a Honeywell employee. Honeywell has an operation in Bangalore, India, and he and other people from Honeywell were trying to get a hold of those folks by phone, couldn't do so, finally got through to one at his home, or he called the U.S. One of the two, doesn't really matter. And he found out that there had been riots in the city, and there was what amounted to martial law imposed because of a Benny Hinn crusade in Bangalore, which had caused quite a bit of rioting and forced the local government, I guess, to institute a temporary police state. The other thing, or two things, is this. As regards faith healers, I don't know where you stand on Chuck Swindoll, and I'm not asking, okay? But he made a point in a teaching series he did some years ago if you're a faith healer, fine. Meet me at a hospital and we'll go from floor to floor to floor healing people. And the final thing is this, and I'll shut up and listen to you, and thank you once again. Can you imagine the spin that the charismatic community is putting on this kind of attack by the enemy?
Reggie, thank you very much. Three good points, three great comments, and thank you for waiting on the line there. Now, I'll have to take his word for it on the riot in India, in Bangalore, that was associated with the Hin crusade. I do know that Benny's crusade is worldwide and that he often goes to economically depressed areas of the world, that he goes to these places and makes the same promises. Not only, by the way, not only promises of health, but also promises of wealth. Now, he wouldn't do it unless it made him some money. He must be able to pay for this. I mean, I know how this works. I've learned the hard way how this works. You kind of pay as you go when it comes to expanding any kind of gospel outreach or ministry. You pay as you go. I'm assuming Benny Hinn is doing that. He's not losing money on any trip to Bangalore, India. Making promises of wealth to people who are living in abject poverty, health to people who are living in disease-ridden slums. It doesn't surprise me that there might not be a riot. Now, that kind of connects to the third part of Reggie's comment, and that is what kind of spin must be putting on, be attached to this by the true believers in Hinn and others. Well, maybe that riot was a move of the Spirit. We don't know. Spirit has kind of a disruptive presence wherever he goes. That's one of the biggest claims that Benny Hinn makes that I find so disturbing. He claims that his crusades are a move of the Spirit. He claims that these healings are a move of the Holy Spirit. He claims that what he teaches and what happens there are choreographed and moved by the Holy Spirit. And that stands in stark contradiction to what Jesus teaches would signal the move of the Spirit, the activity of the Spirit. Jesus teaches that what signals the activity of the Spirit is the preaching of Christ. That's how you know it's the Spirit you're dealing with and not some other spirit, small s. Because spirit, discern the spirits to see which are from God, because not all spirits are from God. Jesus says you want to know that you're dealing with the Holy Spirit, regardless of what's happening. Do you want to know that you're dealing with the Holy Spirit? The Comforter, who I will send to you from the Father, he will testify of me, says Jesus. He will bring to mind what I have taught you and lead you into all truth. And that's not an open-ended blank check for, well, he's going to talk about Jesus, but then it's the subject's going to shift to all sorts of other things, as is typical of Benny Hinn's preaching. He'll mention Jesus. Jesus gets honorable mention. Is the Jesus of the New Testament, is the Christ of Scripture, the Savior of sinners, crucified, risen from the dead, is he the center of the preaching? Or is he mentioned occasionally as an avenue for drawing more people to the healing service or getting people to open their wallets a little wider? We'll hear more of Dateline NBC's expose of Benny Hinn when we come back. Open Lines continues after this.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The primary task of the Christian preacher is to deliver Christ himself to sinners. Christ's perfect obedience, his suffering, his death, his rest in the tomb, his resurrection and ascension for sinners. Christ in holy baptism, Christ in the Lord's Supper, Christ in the word of forgiveness for sinners. You'll find example after example of this Christ-centered, cross-focused preaching in our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March, selected sermons of Dr. Norman Nagel from Valparaiso to St. Louis. This book is $24.99 plus shipping and handling. For more information, go to our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours and ask for the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040.
This is Family News in Focus. I'm Bob Dittmer.
The nation's lawmakers are drafting a bill that they hope will save Terri Schiavo's life. All they're asking is that she have the same right to due process as criminals. Passage will have to happen quickly. Keith Peters has more from Washington.
Ken Connor of the Center for a Just Society is one of the authors of the Disabled Persons Legal Protection Act that's scheduled to be introduced this week in the House. He says they want to provide the same right to due process to Terri Schiavo that death row inmates get in their appeals.
Terri Schiavo, the person whose life literally hangs in the balance in all of these judicial proceedings, has never been afforded independent counsel or effective representation. This bill, if passed, would guarantee that she receives legal counsel and effective representation.
Dr. Gene Rudd of the Christian Medical Association thinks the legislation is a good idea.
Certainly the Schiavo case brings to surface the need to have protection for the most vulnerable ones in our society. And this Disabled Persons Legal Protection Act should take a great step in that direction.
For Terri's life to be spared, however, things need to move, and they need to move quickly. Jade Henricks of the Family Research Council.
And it's going to require a concerted effort on the part of House and Senate leadership to commit both legislative bodies to passing this through and then President Bush signing this into law.
Schiavo's feeding tube is scheduled to be removed by court order on March 18th. Schiavo's husband, Michael, has been trying to accomplish that for 7 years. For Family News in Focus, I'm Keith Peters in Washington.
8 court orders to remove Terri Schiavo's nutrition and hydration have been made so far. Twice the tubes were removed and twice they were reinserted. Removal of the tubes would result in death by starvation and dehydration in anywhere from 7 to 30 days. Family News in Focus is a production of Focus on the Family. You can find us on the web at familynewsinfocus.org. I'm Bob Dittmer.
We thank Reliable Heating and Cooling for being a corporate underwriter of AM 850 KFUO. Here's a few winter heating tips from Reliable. Don't let your furnace filters get dirty. Check the filters at least once a month, replace disposable filters, or clean the permanent ones whenever they do look dirty. Reliable Heating and Cooling performs routine maintenance, such as cleaning filters and humidifiers. 8463 Delport Drive, Reliable Heating and Cooling, 314-423-3535.
Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March features sermons preached by Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Norman Nagel and is titled Selected Sermons of Norman Nagel. It's published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more about Selected Sermons of Norman Nagel on our website, issuesetc.org. Selected Sermons of Norman Nagel, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March.
You know, we're talking about Benny Hinn, and we're listening to the Dateline NBC review of Benny Hinn from last night's program, and it's very interesting stuff. I went into the break talking about what signifies the true move of the Spirit. When is the Spirit really present and speaking? We know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the Holy Spirit, who testifies of Christ, will testify of Christ. That is one of the things that comes through loud and clear, page after page, line after line in our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March. It's called The Selected Sermons of Dr. Norman Nagel from Valparaiso to St. Louis. Christ-centered, cross-focused preaching. Say, are there any sermons in there about the Holy Spirit? Well, you know, not really. Because when the Holy Spirit is doing His job, Christ is proclaimed. The Holy Spirit's not really interested in drawing attention to Himself. What is He there? He is there to testify of Christ, to step out of the way and allow Christ and Him crucified to be heard. Then you know what? Then the Spirit is rightly glorified when Christ is proclaimed. That's the true move of the Spirit, regardless of what preachers like Benny Hinn will say. Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, Selected Sermons of Norman Nagel, is $24.99 plus shipping and handling. If you're interested, you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Right there on the homepage, you'll find an image of the book. Click on the link next to that, and you will get more information on the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March. Or you can call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours. You've still got 90 minutes to do so today. I'm sorry, only 25 minutes to do so today. I'm still on Detroit time, I think. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. 40. It must be Monday if I'm not remembering all my phone numbers. It's the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, Selected Sermons of Norman Nagel. 1-800-325-3040 or our website, issuesetc.org. Calling from Bethalto, David is on the line. David, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hello.
Hi.
I've gotten some ministry materials from Bob Lickow, who's been on your show.
Yes.
Of Inner City Discernment Ministries. And I talked to him on the phone some, and he told me for anybody to work in Benny Hinn's ministry, they had to sign a secrecy agreement that, you know, like no whistleblowers allowed. And one of his top lieutenants died of a heroin overdose. And apparently, if you go to Bob Lickow's website, discernment.org, he's got a lot of information to document what Hinn has said from one day to the next, and that Benny Hinn's like these many Pentecostal preachers on television have done, like Jimmy Swaggart and Jim Baker. They tell you, you must give me your money. God will bless you, and you're being disobedient that you send me the money. And that's the same thing Jimmy Swaggart said.
Yeah, it's remarkable how similar the scenario is. And I'll tell you precisely, David, why the scenario is so similar. It works. It works. You can get money out of people if you promise them blessings or if you threaten them with curses. If you guilt them into giving money, or if you ask them and say, when you give this money, you're seeding to fertile soil, and that fertile soil will produce fruit in your life. Promise on a return. Now, there are a couple things wrong with it. Number one, the promises can't be made. There is no thus saith the Lord on any particular ministry that says, you give to this ministry. Now, God does promise blessings for the cheerful giver, but not for any particular ministry. And the other thing wrong with it is that it does operate with the quid pro quo kind of transaction with God. It's very simple. God's ready to bless you. There's a simple mechanism in place. It's called sending me a check. Send me a check. God will bless you. You get $1,000 in your bank account. Why are you hanging on to it? Give it to me, and God will multiply it tenfold. And you'll have $10,000 in your bank account. It's an appeal to greed and avarice as well. Secrecy never becomes the church or any ministry of the church. Never. When secrecy becomes the order of the day, mark my words, when secrecy becomes the order of the day in any institution of the church, congregation, parachurch organization, denomination, when secrecy and backhanded backroom deals become the order of the day, something is wrong. I think it was the gospel reading for just yesterday talking about how everything that's done in darkness is sin, and when God's word comes, it exposes everything. Secrecy never becomes the church. Never. When you see it operating, even when it's couched in terms of non-disclosure, there's something wrong. Now, that doesn't mean something wrong is necessarily happening. But there's a spirit at work that is not the spirit of God. Spirit of God is not about keeping secrets. It's about openly proclaiming the good news. What you've heard whispered on the rooftops, whispered in the closed rooms, you shout it from the rooftops. No secrets. God is not a God of secrecy either. Now, Reggie called before, and he did have a question I didn't have an opportunity to get to before the break, and that was the question of Chuck Swindoll's assessment of faith healers, and we'll get back to Dateline NBC here very quickly. I like Swindoll's assessment there. With one caveat. Swindoll says, look, if you're a faith healer, I'll meet you at the local hospital, we will go floor to floor, and we will do the work of God in spades. Benny Hinn has claimed to fly over regions and from his vantage point in his private jet, be able to pronounce a blessing over an entire country. to bring an advent of a new move of the Spirit of God over an entire country from the vantage point of his private jet. Heck, if you could do that, Benny, why can't you go to the local hospital? And let's see it happen. Now, here's one thing already pointed out by the Dateline NBC investigative report. That is, people walk away from these things. They believe they were healed. But of the several cases that are brought up here in this report, two of those women died of the very cancer they believed they were healed from. Now, everything's worked the way it's supposed to. Benny's promised healing. He's proclaimed healing. He's announced it. They believed it. Everything's working the way Benny says it should work. And then they die of the cancer. Here's some more audio from Dateline NBC. They're talking about evangelist Benny Hinn.
Though Hinn refuses to make his financial information public, he has said that every dollar given to his ministry goes to the work of the Lord. Followers like Carletta Moore in Delaware told us they have no doubt that's true.
We're not giving it to Pastor Benedy. We're giving it to the ministry to do the work that Pastor Benedy has been entrusted to do.
Be that as it may, Benny Hinn does manage to live very well. His home is this mansion overlooking the Pacific Ocean, built and paid for by his ministry. According to building records, it has 7 bedrooms, 8 bathrooms, and more than 7,000 square feet of living space. The ministry told us the mansion was its parsonage and a good investment. According to area realtors, today it's worth about $10 million. And when Hinn goes to crusades around the world, he travels in this private jet. According to documents we obtained, the ministry pays more than $112,000 a month to use the plane. And closer to home, Pastor Benny still travels in style. This photo obtained by Dateline shows him getting out of a Mercedes SUV. And here he is driving a Mercedes convertible. Both cars retail for about $80,000. That's some of what we told you in our first report. But since then, we've received new information from deep inside the Hinn organization. And others have come forward to tell us that we only scratched the surface when it comes to Benny Hinn, his money, and his miracles. Listen to what this former Hinn insider says.
There was never one complete record that would suit the criteria for a documented miracle healing.
And something else came our way since our first report. Hundreds of pages of ministry expense documents. And this man who traveled the world with Pastor Benny.
There's this tremendous amount of money that's spent on things other than putting on the crusades and the TV program for himself.
Pastor Hinn responds to our last report.
I thank you, Lord, that Dateline was not kind to me.
And we get the inside story about some of the miracles and the millions when the preacher's life continues.
All right, that's the report from Dateline NBC. That's not all of it. They're going to a commercial break, and we'll pick it up there in progress in just a few minutes here on Issues, Etc. Well, Benny Hinn does live a lavish lifestyle. In fact, all of the televangelists do. Now, there's also a reason for this. There's nothing wrong with being rich. There really isn't. There's nothing wrong with being wealthy. There's nothing wrong with a lifestyle that is more affluent than someone else's. But it does belie the claims that all the money raised goes to the work of God. Now, that becomes a very fluid definition when the work of God becomes buying me a house, buying me nice cars, and flying me around in a private jet. Now, Benny Hinn's responded to the private jet thing. He says, look, I'm Benny Hinn. I'm essentially kind of the religious Elvis. I can't fly commercial jets. It just doesn't work. I get mobbed by people. Okay, fine. That's why the president flies around in a private jet, too. Security, personal comfort in some ways, but also being able to get from one place to another in a timely fashion. Okay, I understand that. But let's be honest about it. Let's not say every penny goes to the work of God when some of it goes to making Benny a wealthy man. That's great. That's great. And if your ministry is going to buy your house for you, and I wonder if Benny were to die, whether or not his wife would get the parsonage. Probably. Whose house is it? Let's just be honest. If Benny Hinn's real salary in real terms is $5 million a year, let's just say it. I don't see why, according to his teaching, if he's doing the work of God and being blessed for doing it, and if he's naming it and claiming it and stepping out in faith and being blessed for it, why he should claim to have a salary that's just slightly above, or maybe only twice, the average income in the United States. Why? Why do you claim a salary of $120,000 when the whole point of your ministry is that you're doing the work of God and God is blessing you? Why not claim a salary of every penny that comes in? It's all mine. Why? God's blessing me. This is the way his theology works. Well, maybe people wouldn't give if they thought it all went to Benny. Very different from Jesus saying, follow me, and you know what? You're going to be leaving behind mother and father and in-laws, houses and homes and everything else. And foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Oh, by the way, if you heard Lico, and one of our callers mentioned Bob Lico just a few minutes ago, if you heard him last week when we were broadcasting from Dearborn, Michigan, he said there's an answer to that too. Jesus, according to teachers like Hinn, was as wealthy as Benny Hinn, if not more. You might be surprised to learn that. I remember it wasn't very long after I took the microphone here at Issues, Etc. One of our listeners became irate with me because of some of the things that I'd been saying, and decided that I must be in it for the money. No one would be such a heretic as Wilkin that wasn't in it for the money. They were also a little perturbed at Tom Baker, too, who does Long Gospel after us. You guys must be in it for the money. I know, wrote this listener, that you must be making at least $70,000 a year. I don't know why this listener pulled out $70,000 a year. Arbitrary figure, that must just be too much money for someone who does what I do to get paid. And I thought, how do you respond to this? In the end, it was very simple. I said, if you want a copy of my tax return, I can show you how far short of $70,000 a year I fall. I just did my taxes. I'd be happy to send you my tax return. There you go. You can see how much I make. Now, it might be too much for your taste, but I think I'll be honest about it. Because I think honesty befits the church and its ministries. And that not only applies to Benny Hinn, it also applies to the rest of us mainstream Christians, too. Back to NBC's Dateline report.
I thank you, Lord, that Dateline was not kind to me. And I pray for these men who came against us.
Within days of our first report, Benny Hinn took to the airwaves with a three-hour live broadcast responding to our story. We had questioned whether those miraculous healings were real.
Your doctors have confirmed your healing.
Oh, yes.
But on his show, Hinn featured this man, Raymond Scott, who claims he was healed of colon cancer at a crusade in 1994.
I wonder why NBC did not talk to you.
Both CNN and Dateline have contacted me. But they never follow up. They never ask to see the evidence of what God has done.
So then are they really interested in the truth?
To my experience, no.
What Pastor Benny didn't tell his audience was that Mr. Scott was one of those five supposedly documented and verified healings that the ministry sent us for our first story.
We did talk to Mr. Scott, and we tried to talk to his doctor. But though Scott had given his permission, the doctor declined. Neither the doctor, Mr. Scott, nor the ministry provided us with any medical information that could verify a miraculous healing in Raymond Scott's case.
And we've discovered something else about those miraculous healings since our first report. It turns out that at the very same time Dateline was trying to verify those miracle healings,
that's why she's coughing,
this man says he was trying to do the same thing from inside the ministry.
They told me that they were going to provide me access to their private records of over 200 doctor-documented miracle healings.
Nathan Daniel is a documentary producer and a Christian who says he believes in miracles. Daniel told us he was hired by the ministry to do a positive TV documentary to bolster its image. The script, he says, was to focus on Pastor Benny's good works, including miracle healings. As part of his research, Daniel says he worked closely with the ministry's miracle follow-up division.
I explained to my supervisor that I would pursue developing the script in journalistic fashion, would ask hard questions, and would want to receive the answers thoroughly to avoid criticism by media in the future.
Daniel told us he set criteria for verification of a miracle healing. Proof of the illness or disease in the first place, evidence that there was a miraculous change, and documentation that the healing had continued.
And when you applied those criteria to the hundreds of cases they said they had, documented and verified, what did you find?
I went through the file I had in my possession for a number of days, and there was never one complete record that would suit the criteria for a documented miracle healing.
Michael Horton is an evangelical Christian and a professor of theology at Westminster Seminary in California. He edited a book called The Agony of Deceit, which took a critical look at televangelists, including Benny Hinn.
A lot of people, I think, who watch Benny Hinn or watch the TV evangelists more generally, think that what they're saying is authoritative. After all, they're on TV, and they've written books. And we've lost a capacity to think critically and to weigh people in the light of what the scriptures teach.
And at every crusade and on every broadcast, Benny Hinn's followers hear stories of miracles from their pastor's lips.
You better get a handkerchief today. You're going to see what God did in Las Vegas, especially to a little boy named William.
Remember William, the boy who said his deteriorating vision had been healed at that crusade in Las Vegas?
And now your eyes, you can see better?
Mm-hmm.
That night, Pastor Benny went beyond just declaring William cured.
Our ministry should do all possible to help this boy financially, to even pay for his education.
But almost 3 years after Pastor Benny's promises, William's family says their boy hasn't received a dime from Benny Hinn.
We don't need his money. You know, I can take care of William.
Randy Melthratter is William's uncle and guardian.
He made a promise to the world and to my little boy, and I just think it's right that he does what he said he was going to do.
According to Randy Melthratter, after a year of calling the ministry, he was finally told a fund of $10,000 had been established. But he says he never received any verification of that, and that the ministry refuses to give him any more information. And Melthratter also told us he's upset that the Hinn ministry has been raising money using William's name.
In an email to us, the ministry maintained there is a $10,000 account and that William's family can have access to it. Further, the ministry claims William's family had demanded $1 million, which his uncle vehemently denies. As for his boy's eye condition, Randy Melthratter says at first William believed he had been healed. But a couple of weeks later, he asked William if his vision was really any better.
He thought about it for a second. He goes, I think God's just taking a break. And that, to me, was like, you know, that's a heck of a thing for a little boy to have to make excuses for why God hasn't healed him.
Chapter 1. My cat eats kitty fritters.
William is now 13 years old. Randy told us he has a degenerative and incurable eye condition called retinaschisis. But William can see better these days. What's made the difference? Not anything that happened at that crusade, but...
glasses. I'm glad they could find... because my old doctor said they couldn't find a prescription for me.
Thanks to those special glasses, William doesn't have to use Braille anymore and leads a fairly active life. In the meantime, Pastor Benny has millions of followers who donate millions of dollars to his ministry, not only to help him preach the gospel, but also, as he says, to feed and clothe thousands of children around the world. But that's not what that former Hinn employee says he found.
To me, this was a fraud and deception being put across the people that are his donors.
How many children does the ministry support? Dateline follows up as some Christian critics weigh in on Pastor Benny's lifestyle.
You're called to be a servant.
All right, when we come back, we're going to be looking at the rest of Dateline NBC's report on Benny Hinn. We had a caller before. Reggie said, can you imagine the spin that's put on this report by the charismatic community? Yeah, I can. The fact of the matter is, we heard a little bit of that from Shane Rosenthal in the first hour, where he said that after Mike Horton's appearance on the Dateline NBC expose of Benny Hinn, lots of angry email from people, about 90% of it, saying that you should not touch the Lord's anointed. They were wrong to criticize Benny Hinn, and one man even said he'd given $100 to Benny Hinn. That on the occasion of watching the Dateline NBC, because Benny is a beleaguered, anointed teacher of God. There are none so blind as those who will not see. And that's the real danger of Benny Hinn. I don't blame the followers who would put the spin on Benny Hinn's avarice or on his false promises and say, well, look, what else do you expect from the liberal media? They're going to go after somebody like Benny Hinn every time. Well, look, they're asking legitimate questions, aren't they? Shouldn't Christians, seekers of truth, even have occasionally an opportunity to agree with a quote-unquote liberal media when the liberal media says, look, he promises healing. Is it true? Was the little boy healed? Was the woman healed? Was the other woman healed? When he promises to pay for a kid's education, does he come through? When he promises to feed starving children, does he come through? Those are basic questions of truth. That's not liberal, conservative. That's not even a question that Christians should rely upon the media to ask. Christians themselves should be asking those questions. But as I said, there are none so blind as those who will not see the real danger of false teaching, as is evidenced by Benny Hinn and the aftermath of a story like Dateline NBC's, is that this kind of blindness that false teaching creates is a blindness that refuses to see. There must be another explanation. I know it looks like Benny Hinn lives a lavish lifestyle on the backs of people through false promises, but that cannot be the truth. That's just the spin of the media. It can't be true. That's called refusing to see. And false teaching blinds people to the truth. Not just the truth, theological truth, but the truth, period. It renders people unable to discern truth from error. It spiritually disables people so that they are not able to tell the difference between truth and falsehood. And they are willing to listen to falsehood and proclaim it the truth in spite of even basic evidence. Our call-in number is 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. When we come back, Dateline NBC confronts Benny Hinn at an airport in Toronto, and we'll find out what happens after that. Keep listening. Our call-in number is again 505-7850. 1-800-730-2727. 25 more minutes of open lines, and then at 5:30, Frank Sherwin will join us to talk about this discovery in Ethiopia of an allegedly 4-million-year-old human ancestor. That's in the last half hour of Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues, Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.